Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to work for all of you that had a nice vacay yesterday. We were here. You missed us.
A little ramp up process for us.
Yeah, we just, you know, got the cobwebs out. Myself, because I was off. You never have cobwebs, Justin. Just
oh, I had
fully
cobwebs.
A professional.
I have always consistent, permanent cobwebs.
Well, if you're waking up this morning, happy 4th of July. Yesterday's a weird one. The day, like, it's like, who claims the 3rd? I saw people online arguing, like, it should be a joint citizenship holiday. If you're Canadian and you're also American, when do you celebrate?
I don't think we could ever win that battle.
No.
Like, they, you know, I don't know that well. I don't know firsthand. But Americans do holidays way better than us.
Oh, yeah.
Way better.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, okay, so today's Tuesday. They've been partying for 3 days.
No, like, legitimately, and if you went to Nashville last week, you just didn't go back to work, I'm sure. You're still in Tootsie's.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
100% that party is, I mean, we talked to Frank. Frank might be the busy one, maybe one of the few, but even Frank was like napping on the couch yesterday.
They definitely know how to throw a 4th of July. I think I did 3 out of 4 summer 4th of Julys while I was
really?
At school.
You stuck around? You stuck around or did you go back?
2 years I stuck around.
Really?
And 1 year I went back because
what
it was
did
that
you
good.
Do for 2 months?
Don't worry
just
about
wait
it.
Till July 4th?
No, I was training like a
no,
varsity athlete.
Come on.
I was
really?
I was working summer hockey camps
okay,
in the
so you have a job. I was like, you just turned your back on Canadian summer?
No. The first summer I stayed as a freshman, I was training and I was like, you know, working camps. Second year was called sophomore summer. Where all the sophomores stay on campus. Long story. Awesome.
Sounds,
actually, like, insane.
Sounds delightful.
Insane summer. And then my junior summer, I was here working. And then one summer, I went back and did it up in Chicago. And that
ooh.
Was really fun. We did the boat cruise, the river cruise.
For July 4th?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Okay.
It was so cool.
What
but
goes
yeah, they
on
know
in
how to
Chicago
party.
July 4th?
We took the river boat cruise, you know, through Chicago and then out into Lake
Michigan.
They do something, Lake
no,
Michigan,
they do something
right?
for the water for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, that's for green water.
Yes.
And they don't dye it for 4th of July. And then there's obviously
red,
massive. They should just like throw in red and white and blue dye and see what happens.
It's get brown, which
yeah.
is great. Chicago, underrated heat in the summer.
It
like,
was
kind of
disgusting.
Unbearable. I don't know why. It's like a little, it's like Toronto, but
sick.
Maybe a little colder, but
sick.
In the summer, oh my God.
That's what we're lucky. We're out on this, I think it's Lake Michigan. I'm not mistaken.
I believe you're right.
Yeah. We're out there and it was like breezy enough, but the second you get back on land, you're like, you feel like you're in a deep dish pizza. Like you're in the bottom of it, sweating
yes.
away in the meat and
don't
cheese.
Want to be inside a deep dish
no.
pizza.
So
would like a deep dish pizza inside of me though.
There you go. I think I might've had a couple that weekend. We will talk about Justin and I were like, you know what? Let's do a little American chat. We're going to do a little draft of your 4th of July American athletes that you'd want to bring to your barbecue a little later in this top hour. So if you have any suggestions, you can text it in.
Yeah, this was a bit of a challenge, honestly. Sort of going through it a little bit. Like, of course, we talked
American
about the
athletes.
NHL, the Canadians. Like, I was like,
Canadians
oh, no.
Canadians are way more fun.
They're Canadian. They're Canadian. That doesn't work because they're Canadian. Same goes with the NBA. I was like, a lot of Europeans are top of my list.
Yeah.
A couple Canadians top of my list. But there are a lot of Americans that I'd like at my 4th of July
there you
party.
Go.
In the end, we found them.
I
just
got
had
at
to
least,
take a little while.
I got at least 8. So if we go 5 and 5, it should be okay.
If we have the same list...
No, I have a couple.
We're not gonna
I got a couple
list.
Randoms in there.
Okay.
Of course, today's a big day for a friend of the show, personal friend and close confidant of myself, Joey Chestnut.
Mm-hmm.
It is Nathan's hot dog eating contest, which allegedly began in 1916.
Why allegedly?
Well, it's you have to go back and you got to prove it, and
okay.
it's not fully set in stone.
You don't trust the. The historical documents
well,
surrounding the hot dog
I wasn't around,
contest?
But they're working through it. Anyway,
well, you weren't around
day.
When, you know, the Edmonton Oilers last won Stanley Cup.
No, I wasn't. But that's what they say. 1916, there's we can get through that. We're trying to figure it out officially. But nonetheless, big day for Joey, friend of the show, friend of myself. I will have to probably just shoot
Does
him
Does Joey just
a good
have
luck.
It? Are you going to send him a good, little good luck note?
No, I won't.
I don't know. I'm not convinced Joey still has it.
I am not either, Justin.
At some point, legends fall.
As well, there's no way he doesn't win.
Why? Does no one else have the ability
no,
to put back 70-plus
no,
hot dogs?
Not even close. But I honestly, last year, I don't think, like, I think he's, I don't know, is he on the decline? We'll get to it.
Well, he came through Rogers Center, didn't eat a single hot dog.
I know, and that's where I was like, is he a fraud?
A little alarming when the hot dog guy.
Or was he saving it up?
Maybe.
But I was going to say today, I woke up and I was like, man, it's too bad the Blue Jays don't have a home game today. It would have been Looney Dogs on 4th of July, and we would all have done our part to support the Nathan's Hot Dog competition. So, I mean, a kind of a missed opportunity for the schedulers. I know we had Canada Day, but give us 4th of July. The one Canadian
team. They're in Chicago.
Team.
They're feeling the heat in Chicago.
There you go. The one Canadian team should get a 4th of July game.
Yeah.
I always think it's funny when they have the new, they make the 4th of July hats and like the Blue Jays are like, what do we do?
It's just red.
It's like, red.
Just not include the blue.
Would you think that
the
they should have
or the stripes.
An American styled hat for today? Even though they're Canada's team, they have Americans on the team and it's the MLB.
I mean, I wouldn't be offended by it. I don't know why they wouldn't actually. I actually kind of think I know why they wouldn't, because a lot of people would be upset with it. But,
true.
Like, why would you be upset with it? Who cares? Yeah, there's a lot of Americans.
But
maybe Americans I want to bring to my 4th of July party.
Oh, there you go. Or you want to lure to play in Toronto. That's
ooh,
how you do it.
I actually didn't have any Blue Jays on my list.
No, I don't have a single Blue Jay on my list.
Might have to rethink.
Anywho.
You didn't have Kiermaier? Do I even know you?
I didn't pick him. It's okay, but maybe he's on my reserves if people can't show up. So no Blue Jays last night. They had the day off, as you mentioned, there in Chicago, getting sticky for 4th of July.
Can we talk about the Toronto Argonauts for a
second? I was just about to say, but what was on the television last night was the Toronto Argonauts, and I almost went to the game on a whim. I was like, oh, there's no Jays tonight. What's going on in the city? Boom, Argos. Tickets are certainly affordable. And I didn't, because I just spent a week gallivanting and I needed one night to do laundry and clean.
Oh.
Well, I just, I got to get your life back together.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so I didn't go, but I was watching it and the Argos 3-0, beating the BC Lions, who were undefeated as well.
Yeah, BC Lions. Like, I don't know exactly what's going on with the BC Lions, but they looked pretty good on paper coming in, looked like they had some momentum, but Swag Kelly. I mean, it doesn't really matter because you're facing this Toronto Argonauts team. That's the best team in the city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, repeat, your boy, Falerin Orimolade?
Yep. He actually, I didn't think...
say your boy, Flo.
Yeah, did my boy, Flo. You don't have to say his full name. Like, you don't say my girl, Ailish Forfar. Forzy.
Okay. But yeah, good thing cooking here. Vernon Adams Jr. for BC, though. 5 picks. I mean, it was a bit of a nightmare for him. But you got Jim Kelly, the uncle of Swag Kelly, enjoying things in the stands. Argos are on a bit of a wave.
And so you had conflicting thoughts that I did this morning, because I said, first thing when we talked about Argos, I said, oh, I love the jerseys. I want one of those.
Yeah, I don't like the jerseys.
My birthday's next week.
My question.
Give me
a Flo number seven
Argos jersey.
You should.
I should just message
Flo.
Him.
You should message Flo.
You can give me a game worn one.
If Flo gave you a game worn jersey,
that'd be sick.
I don't get the shoulders though. Like, I didn't do the research on this. They probably explained why
they do.
It looks like wing. It looks like the Alouettes logo, or part of the Alouettes logo on their shoulders. I don't get it.
I'm sure somebody is up this morning.
If you know
outraged.
Why
I bet Danielle
markings
knows.
On the shoulders. Of the new Argos jerseys are as such. Let us know in the text line, 590-590.
But think
like, it's
really
double
nice.
Blue. It's double blue. I need a little bit more double. There's, of course, a little bit of dark blue in there.
I just Googled it and it took 10 seconds.
Okay. Tell me what's going on then.
Earlier this month, the team unveiled new helmets based on Cambridge blue for the first time since 1962. Blah, 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 blah. The Argos boat logo returned. Exemplifies the team's pull together mantra as each oar works in unison, propelling the boat forward.
That's the helmet.
Let me type in the word shoulder.
It takes 10 seconds.
Oh, here we go. The graphic design includes 6 oars on each shoulder to represent the 12 players on the field and a single oar on each side of the pants that replaces the traditional stripe. The numbers are set to be influenced by the Royal Canadian Navy ship numbers that modernize and, wow, they put a lot of thought into this. And size to fill the jersey. Inside the collar is the team's motto, pulled together.
The oars look like feathers. That's my issue.
I kind of see it.
They look like Oregon ducks. You know how they look
like
feathers?
Well, how else are you going to make an oar is a weird shape.
Know, like,
eh?
You know, like a lot of people in like a cottage will have a single oar on the wall. Single oar.
We have an oar and it's painted Hudson's Bay.
Oh, yeah?
The stripes.
Just a big Hudson Bay guy?
My mom is a huge Hudson Bay guy.
Everything she owns
is Hudson Bay.
Okay,
she honestly probably kept the bay in business for longer than most people. You just got her anything Hudson Bay.
Is it the color scheme she likes?
She loves
or
it. It's
like
iconic.
I'm just supporting this company?
No. It's
good Canadian company.
Both, probably, actually. She's got every blanket. You know, there's different types of blankets. There's like the blue stripe, the red stripe. There's a gray one, and then there's a traditional Hudson Bay stripe.
I thought your mother made her own blankets.
Yeah, well, she does too, okay? Don't put her on blast. It's 6 a.m. She's probably listening, knitting. Now she's going to get out and she's going to start making blankets. But she's big on...
She's
rattled
blankets.
Now. She's got Hudson Bay everywhere. There's actually a room in the house that was like a Hudson Bay room in the cottage. Like it's like it's the Hudson Bay room.
Do people like come in for the first time and like they're claiming the Hudson Bay
room?
They're
like, oh, that's really nice.
People come, guests, and they claim a room.
Anyway.
In the Hudson Bay room.
Shout out Hudson Bay. My mom keeps you in business.
Shout out to the ore on your wall.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what's going on with the sleeves, Justin.
Okay.
All right.
So they're not wings.
They're ores. Pull together. Let's pull it together here.
Let's pull it together.
All right. So we got no Blue Jays last night. Argos just continue to crush it. Luke Fox joins us at 7. Blake Murphy, 7:30. Chuck Fletcher, 8 a.m. An iconic moment in Canadian sports lore. Adam Hadwin, who got tackled into...
Oblivion,
who had a great weekend at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, will join us to wrap up the show at 8:30. And I got to ask him how it is like having a wife that's almost as famous as him. She's awesome on Twitter, so follow her. So that's our lineup for today. Let's talk some Leafs, because William Nylander making headlines, maybe not for the best way ever. So, according to some reports, that Nylander and the Leafs are not in a good spot. They are a little bit far apart in terms of what's next. Nylander believing that he is a $10 million player, while the Leafs view him more in the realm of $8 million. That's a bit different. Obviously, we know this is a bit of a holdup right now with what's going to happen with Nylander. They obviously have a big cap crunch. We know that. They currently couldn't play because they have too many people that are making too much money. They got to figure that out, but there are certainly ways to do that. But it's a bit not untenable yet. It's tiptoeing into untenable.
Oh, we need the tenable-untenable spectrum.
We yeah, we do. The middle of, what is it? Mid-tenable.
Yeah. Okay, it hasn't graduated yet to untenable. Yes. Work on the actual stages.
Mid-tenable.
There. I don't know how you said it there. He believes he's 10. They believe he's 8 or in the 8 range.
So just go to 9.
Exactly. Like sometimes it's that simple. It's like, it's not arbitration. It's a compromise, though. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you compromise, you can meet in the middle. I guess, though, if he's steadfast in his belief that he's $10 million and he's not taking any less, well, you can maybe just punch your ticket out of town. Again, I think it's really simple with Nylander. He has to decide whether or not he wants to be paid like his perceived value, mm-hmm. or stick with this team, because sometimes it's just as simple as that. But I don't know. This is another example of the eternal hierarchy failing the Toronto Maple Leafs. Because you look at a team like the Devils, who just signed Timo Meier, and Nylander is a better player than Timo Meier. So Nylander can look at him and be like, well, I deserve more than 8-8. And he's probably right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit more than 8-8. But Timo Meier talks about, hey, I want to win, and this is why I took a little less. I don't know if you really took a little less, or you're just in the ballpark of Jack Hughes, who's clearly the best player on the team and is making less than that, or is making less than what the Toronto Maple Leafs' best players are making. Mitch Marner getting close to 11 right
off the
bat.
That's the problem.
John Tavares getting 11 to come over here 5 years ago. Auston Matthews getting whatever he wants, and really it's not even a discussion. It's just like, oh, let's try and get Nylander done so we can then announce Matthews, is what it seems like, because Matthews is going to earn so much, and you don't want to compare Nylander to Matthews' next contract, let alone the one he's currently on. Like, all those things feed into it. But Nylander is in that realm where you're a great player that deserves to flirt with $10 million. But if it's $10 million, it's probably a little too much.
And somebody else will give him $10
million. And that's why...
somebody else would give him $10
million. Okay, so, and this is part of it, too. Like, if he gets to free agency, and it's 10 times 7, that's $70 million. If he just signs 8 times 9.5, you know, it's pretty close. I mean, it's better than the $70 million you can, in terms of real dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's... It's a negotiation. So why wouldn't he start at this point? Why wouldn't he be like, this is what I deserve. Let's talk and let's maybe meet in the middle eventually. But you don't do that until the pressure's on. And unfortunately, in a season where he doesn't have to sign a contract for another 360 days or so before he gets cut loose or can be cut loose, can extricate himself if he wants to, there's not really any pressure. And that, I guess, is problematic. Until they say, hey, Nylander, we're trading you this week unless you get something done here.
Something in the nines to me has been totally fine. I think 10 just gets a little scary. What is it? Let's say 9.95. Like, you sign that in a heartbeat? Do you sign that with a little bit of thought process? And you mentioned a good point about Matthews. Like, it's just whatever Matthews wants, he's getting at this point, right?
It seems.
We're not really second guessing it, but I also say that I feel like the temperature around the Matthews conversation has just been quieter because every insider says, no, he's going to sign.
Yeah, it's
like,
good.
No, it's good.
No, fine. Yeah.
It's good. Like, they're going to figure it out, and maybe he understands that he doesn't have to get, like, the groundbreaking. He just got to get the most. What if that's, like, $32,000 more, get your number,
yeah.
Right? Like, it seems like they're going to find a relationship here. But it really does feel with William Nylander that, and we've seen this before with their contract negotiations, and maybe that's, like, why there's a little bit of second-guessing when you're a Leafs fan, thinking if there's going to be a future with William Nylander is because it doesn't seem he's comparing himself to those players on his team. But I don't blame him. Like,
yeah,
I don't blame him.
He's been underpaid for the last couple seasons.
Extremely underpaid.
And I think the one thing, like, I'm all for signing the deal because it just, you stop talking about it. You get this year, which is very, very important to try and win this year when you got 1 year deals with Tyler Bertuzzi and Max Domi. And I guess John Klingberg, like, it's, this year is very, very important. If you get to the point where you have to trade William Nylander, you tell yourself you have to trade William Nylander, then you lose out on his last most valuable season, at least in terms of his contract status. $6.9 million for William Nylander this year is an unbelievable opportunity you don't want to pass up. Or it should be a major, major advantage to you in your team building process that William Nylander has one more year of being severely underpaid.
So you sign him now, get this drama over with, because it can get into the uncomfortable, like, relationships being a little bit strained, which it might have been already, who knows, and then see what happens next year.
But I also think $6.9 million now, if he signed a 9.5 in 4 years, it could feel like $6.9 million.
Well,
with the cap going up,
to go up like what, $8 million?
You might not feel great about it in the first year of the deal when John Tavares is still making money, but when the cap goes up $5 million and then another $5 million and then another $5 million, and
you get pretty good,
you get to that point where all of a sudden there's money in the system, and William Nylander is 6 years left at $9.5 million, and he's scoring 35 to 40 goals per year. You're going to feel like that's $6.9 million. And that's why Nylander's fighting for it, because he's the one who missed out last time to a certain extent, or at least in the context of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He was the one who didn't get paid like everybody else. He got paid like everybody else in terms of, like, the league-wide focus. Nathan MacKinnon was making six forever. David Pastrnak was making six forever. And now they're not, but Nylander deserves a raise, should get close to $10 million. If he doesn't get to $10 million, make it 9.5 and playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, that might be the best option
that's
for Willie.
What,
but again,
I
that's
with
up to him to decide in the end.
So we'll see what happens. Obviously, this has been a pretty hot topic in Leafs land. I don't really know the timeline on it. Like, if they're still having the same conversation, 10 and 8, it's like someone's going to have to bend the knee a little bit.
I think you want to keep it under 10. Look, my theory is if you just sign him, he's never going to have diminished value. Like, if the cap goes up with what it's supposed to do, there might be another panic. Who knows? Whatever.
Oh, something, God, Justin.
I'm just saying something crazy could happen that reroutes everything. But Nylander's signed to 8 years now, a 40-goal scorer.
Yep.
It's not like he's going to be untradeable. It's not like it's going to be
People
Erik Karlsson.
People would want him, yes.
The cap is going up. He is a star player. He can score 40 goals. If he's at $9.5 million and you decide, hey, we got way too much money up front here, we need to pay some other guys, it's just not working with William Nylander, it's not like there's going to be no suitors. You could turn around tomorrow and trade William Nylander
for
market value.
I'm sure the Carolina Hurricanes would find a way to grab him.
Yeah,
they're grabbing everybody. Yeah, but they'll figure it out.
But yeah, there's going to be a team out there that's going to be like, yeah, I'll make a hockey deal with you. So if you just sign him and put an end to the shenanigans that could be ahead here, you avoid all that. You get William Nylander this season when you want him. You try it again the next year and see if everything can work. The cap goes up. All of a sudden, you have financial freedom. You feel better about it. But then if you don't feel good about where you're at, you run into the same wall over and over again. William Nylander doesn't perform in the playoffs. And you just decide you need to recalibrate and redistribute talent or redistribute where you put funds. Then trade him then. You'll get market value for William Nylander at $9.5 million on an 8-year deal. you can't include full no trade protection. You got to avoid that one. Mm-hmm. But if he's going to make, if he's going to give anything back, maybe it's that, because he doesn't want to give back money.
No. Okay. So they got a little bit of time, but hopefully they just meet in the middle. Okay. It's not that hard.
It really isn't that hard, meeting in the middle.
Listen to us, capologists. One wants 10, one wants 8. What's in between
those?
They're
just like, guys.
Guys, let me help you out. It's simple.
You want 10. They want you for 8.5. 9.25?
Perfect.
Why not?
Sign me up. Look at us.
Who's going to be upset with 9.25?
We could be the GMs of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Okay, so we got lots of Leafs stuff to go through, too. Yesterday, a two-hour episode of 32 Thoughts, the podcast dropped. Those guys grind harder.
They're doing God's work.
Harder than anyone. Sifting through, they basically went through every single team. So if you care about listening to the Anaheim Ducks conversation, you get a little tidbit of everything. But obviously, the Maple Leafs stuff, kind of the forefront.
Not into Ducks talk?
They might have a Ducks talk down in Anaheim this morning. Mm. There's some drama actually
big
happening.
Fantilli takes happening. Yeah, there's Ducks talk right
there's
now.
Some spice happening online with one of our friends in the Ducks.
Oh, yes. Actually, Ducks talk may be worth
it. Yeah, today there's going to be Ducks talk.
You might have to
just
explain.
Go on Twitter. Okay, well, Frank Saravelli, our friend Frank Saravelli, is in trouble.
He's standing by, he's sticking to his guns.
Yes, and he rightfully so. He can do whatever he wants. Let me just pull it up properly because I don't want to misquote this. KO Sports, who represents John Gibson, mm-hmm. put out a statement last night on Twitter basically saying that what Frank had said on a podcast.
Which was that John Gibson had played his last game.
Had said, quote, like, never wants to play another game for the Anaheim Ducks again, was mm-hmm. extremely false, and like put out this statement like calling for Frank Saravelli, and Frank responds with like, hey, buddy, this has happened before where you've called me out and I was right. So we'll see what happens with Frank versus KO Sports. That's the biggest battle on the internet right now.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's like Twitter versus Elon Musk. And now it's Frank versus KO Sports.
KO Sports,
anyway, so there's your Ducks talk for
you
the day.
You know what side we're on.
Yeah, go Team Frank. Okay, so we've got Elliot talking about Max Domi. Now, if you want to wake up and run through a brick wall, you got to listen to Max Domi, the newest Maple Leaf, living out the hometown kid dream, what he has to say about being a Toronto Maple Leaf.
I think the thing here to realize is that Max Domi, he wants this to be his NHL home for a long time. He wants to be a Leaf. He's got the bloodlines to be a Leaf. He'll do anything to stay a Leaf. He never wants to leave here. It's a powerful motivator, and that's a major reason he's here, and they wanted him. They know that.
Oh, he'll do anything to be a Leaf. He never wants to leave the city of Toronto.
I am legitimately excited for the Domi era.
I actually believe it, too. Like, of course people were, okay, this is ridiculous, Twitter. They were resurfacing the quote when Max Domi played for the Montreal Canadiens mm-hmm. and was asked about the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he went, like, full heel and was like, all right, the Leafs suck, I'll never play. Whatever he said. The Leafs suck, I hate the Leafs, Montreal's better, we have more cups. Of course he was going to say that. He was playing with the Montreal Canadiens. He was trying to spark this, like, feud, and
You can see the twinkle in his eye that he didn't even really believe it.
I imagine he had said, actually, I really love the Leafs. I respect that franchise. Like, of course he had to be the heel.
Yes.
And so obviously now he gets the opportunity to post these cute photos of him and Ty, and everybody's resurfacing the photos we talked about yesterday on the internet of him on the ice and the Leafs jersey. It's perfect. Hometown kid, a dream to play.
I like how Treliving said it. I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, it's not about cute photos, even though we just said it was about a few photos. It wasn't about cute photos. This is like, we really like Max Domi.
Yeah.
Like that's what it, and I love that. This is kind of the perfect setup, right?
Yeah.
Like it could be a great, great story. It could work out beautifully. He is what they need in a lot of ways. A left winger with some grind, can play center. Max Domi, if you got the Max Domi that played for the Dallas Stars in last year's playoffs, mm-hmm. he is going to help you not only just in the regular season, but in the playoffs too. I think he's better than Michael Bunting.
Yeah.
Like 100%. I would rather have him than Michael Bunting. Michael Bunting got 3x3.5. Max Domi's coming over here on a 1-year deal, but he has a lot of the grind that Michael Bunting's trying to imitate in a lot of ways. And maybe Bunting can score more goals, and he will probably score more goals. But I think Max Domi gives you a little bit of what you're missing, a little bit what you didn't have last year. And there's also that backstory and the context of being Domi. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's going to motivate him, just as Elliot Friedman said. And I think we were surmising that before, but Elliot laying it out like that, he's going to be playing for his next contract to start in game one.
Yep.
To continue being a member of this team. This is what he wants. At least this is what he wants right now. And I hope that he's not jaded like a Ryan O'Reilly by the end of it.
Oh God.
But I don't think he's going to shy away. I think this is what he's always wanted, and he's not going to just let this opportunity slip. I think it's a great situation for the Leafs. Getting a motivated version of a player that they need is a real potential slam dunk.
My only bone to pick is he went number 11.
Yeah, 11 doesn't pop that much for me either.
Zach Hyman.
Oh, yeah. Should be retired.
It should be, actually. That's a good point. He's in Saint-Tropez, by the way.
Nice.
Because I know his girlfriend personally very well.
Okay.
I also
look at you. You got the Domi. If we don't get Max Domi on the show,
Justin,
you know the girlfriend, you know the sisters.
I know the family really
I'm
well.
I'm sure you interviewed the dad at some point last year.
I actually have never spoken to Ty.
Okay.
But I know the sisters very well and his girlfriend very well. And she posted a photo that they're in Saint-Tropez. And we were wondering where in the world he was. So
good life.
That's your update on that.
So are they coming home? Do they have to come home? Does he have to?
Should I start liking her photos more? Just be like, oh my God. Hey,
nah,
by the way,
nah,
I can't. We're not like
we
that.
We know
close.
A lot of people like that, but
no,
you're
no,
not,
I can't.
You're not
I'm not going to be a weasel. If it comes naturally, it comes naturally.
Brent Gunning, he'd be liking those
yeah,
photos.
Well, Gunner grinds.
Trying,
I don't.
No, he's trying to get a free drive or
yeah,
trying to get something
true.
Free.
Okay, so I liked something that Trey Living said yesterday because it's going to be our new. We've always had like what, you know, the catchphrases. Like Dubas had a lot of catchphrases. Come on, give me one.
We can and we will?
No, like what they're looking for in the lineup.
What was the Dubas had it?
What was the catchphrase that they used all
Burke
the time?
Burke had truculence.
Okay, that was a word, yeah.
Dubas has, I don't know.
Whatever, we got the new one.
590, 590, let us know what Dubas.
That's what Dubas said. We've got a little 590, 590. We do have this quote from Trey Living, and I think it's going to be like, I think it's going to be the thing this year. We'll just play
okay,
it first,
right.
You see what I mean?
You know, one of the things that we were cognizant about is trying to replace some offense that left. But there's also specific skill sets we're looking to address, too. Like, to me, I think there's goals with Tyler, but to me, they're middle ice goals. He gets to middle ice. He gets to blue paint. I think he's a good complement to a lot of our players here where, you know, the skill level that we have, he gets to the areas that you have to get to score goals. So I think he complements that. You know, bringing Max in, I think, I really believe, I go back a long ways with Max. I was in Arizona when we drafted him. Shane played a big role in this. Shane was Max's first captain. I really believe that we're going to see the best version of Max. He has been dying to play in Toronto for a long time. And I think having players wherever you are, having players that it means a great deal to them to pull on that jersey, I think is important. And that's Max. And again, he's got the ability. He brings offensive ability. Both these players, I think there's a DNA part of them that, you know, we need a little bit more snot to our game. And I think they both bring a little bit of that. So we felt it was a good day yesterday.
That's it. Bringing a little bit more snot to our game. That's it this year. They're bringing some
more
snot. It's snot season.
It's snot season for the. I'm down with that.
It's
I think there's something to work
season.
With there. We got something to work with.
It was
snot
killer
season.
Instinct. Killer instinct. Killer
I'll
instinct.
I'll take snot over killer instinct.
I like snot way more than killer instinct. If I hear killer instinct this year from somebody in that management office,
it's been drilled into Mitch Marner's head.
It's snot season.
One more question before we move on because we got to draft.
We got
some things here.
We can draft in the A-list.
Are you coming around on Brad Tre Living?
I kind of am.
Okay.
The tree, okay. You know, Trey Live, yeah. Trey Left, Trey Love.
Yeah, you're trying to, maybe doesn't.
I'm not getting it tatted on my ankle.
It's not like snot.
No, not with an infinity sign like all the girlies back
that's
in like 1990.
Right 1990.
Yeah, like early 2000s. But I am, the stock has risen. How about that? The tree is growing.
I feel like he's a little lucky.
What do you mean by that?
Tyler Bertuzzi should have signed a big deal.
Okay, but then
and he wasn't signing that deal.
You know what never happens? The Leafs get any luck.
I know.
When I saw Bruins fans upset for the first time in their life on the timeline, I can't believe we didn't get a player. I'm like, welcome to our lives. You guys complain about one thing.
I was just maybe a little lucky, but I like where he's going here. I like what he's done with Bertuzzi and Domi for sure. Just want a little bit more patience. I don't want him to rush the Nylander thing, but I think a little bit more encouraged now than I was 6 weeks ago. How about that?
I totally agree. The tree is growing. Let's not chop it down.
We're going tree climbing.
There you go. Okay. Blue Jays. We got to get some Blue Jays in here. Okay, vibe check is important. There's a lot of negativity on the timeline with the Toronto Blue Jays, understandably, folks.
It's the most Ailish segment of all time.
But this was actually your idea, so give yourself some praise because I said...
I'm welcoming you back.
I'm like, we need some Blue Jays talk tomorrow, Justin. We need something.
But yeah, your tone was like, I don't want to, you know, beat the dead horse here.
Yeah, it's tough right now.
Okay.
But Justin presented a great idea, and we're going to run with it. It's a vibes check, but positives only, folks, okay? It's Tuesday. It's 4th of July. It's been a long weekend all over the world. The Blue Jays are in Chicago. Let's just flip the script, folks. Let's find positives. And let me give you some perspective before we get into this. The Blue Jays are 45-40 in 85 games. Last year, at 85 games, they were 45-40. The exact same record, folks. Mm. We live in a time is a circle.
Weren't they supposed to be better this year?
Yes. So just take that as you'd like. I'm just presenting the scene. Last year at this point, at 85 games, Charlie Montoyo was 3 games away from being fired.
Mm.
There's your perspective. Are we 3 games away from John Schneider being fired? I don't know.
If he wasn't in his first year.
Yeah.
Okay. He might be getting more leash just because he's new.
Last year,
this is supposed to be positive.
I'm just presenting the scene.
Okay.
This point, they were 16 and a half games back from the Yankees with a 2-game hold on the AL wildcard spot. But since this division's a bit funky this year, they're 11 games back of the Rays, but they're 1.5 games out of the third and final wildcard spot. So just keep your information while you do this.
Okay.
But there are positives to be ripped from this roster to talk about today.
Okay.
You want to go first?
We're drafting these?
Oh, yeah, just give some to the fans.
Okay. I think the number one positive is pretty obvious.
Bobichet's
the number one positive.
Okay, shoot, my list is dwindling.
You want Bobichet?
Yeah, no.
No, I'll take Bobichet.
Well, I can support
yours. And I'm going to kind of like spin this forward and maybe, you know, project my opinion on it a little bit. But I think Bo Bichette being liberated a little bit by his contract status has been the major, major positive because they're doing this song and dance every year with Bo, and we learned that he didn't like the arbitration process. So now he gets the 3 years, and he gets to move past that, and he gets to just play baseball, and he gets to just play baseball at an elite level. This is the best offensive shortstop in the game this season. WRC plus of 136, leads the AL in hits, leads AL shortstops in home runs. He is the best American League shortstop, full stop. And it's great to just watch a Blue Jays prospect, not a prospect any longer, but a guy who was groomed here, developed here, came up the system, Bo Bichette, become one of the league's elite players at his position and just in general. Bo Bichette having a wonderful season is the number one positive for me.
He has turned into the Bo Bichette that we've looked for and had a lot of negative conversation about lots of last season. He's not good enough to be a shortstop. Like people were saying, like, if you had an opportunity to sign either him or Vlad, it was Vlad. No doubt sentence, period. This series turned into the superstar that we had wanted from Bo Bichette. You mentioned his AL hits, but he's also second in batting average, and he's probably going to be in the batting average title all year long. That's something really special. And his defense has improved significantly from last season, and that was the biggest point. Like, we knew Bo was really great offensively, but there was always, like, the but. And this year it's really been incredible to see that turnaround. Very big positive of the Blue Jays is Bo Bichette.
Yes, the number one. And then a little space between the next one?
No, I think that I would put Kevin Gausman pretty close to that. This is why. Blue Jays are probably going to play in a wild card game, I hope. I feel confident. Don't make that face. It's positive central today.
Right.
I feel confident that Kevin Gausman starting game one of a wild card series is a better starting pitcher than most teams out there.
Okay.
Okay, so you're starting your wild card series with a bona fide ace.
You're very comfortable handing the ball to Kevin Gausman to begin a playoff
run. 146 strikeouts leads the AL. Second in the majors behind Spencer Strider. He leads all pitchers with the 3.8 WAR and will be deservedly headed to his second All-Star game. He has been very, very steady, consistent, a joy to watch on this team. You might have the best hitter and the best pitcher, 1-2 punch, if you start an All-Star game.
Maybe it's just complacency. Maybe I'm not
All-Star
giving,
game, I meant wild card game.
Maybe I'm not giving his due, but I don't think he is the most positive story in terms of...
No, we said Bo Bichette.
The pitching staff.
Oh.
Yeah, because I'm used to Kevin Gausman being great. We depend on Kevin Gausman being great, so I kind of overlooked that. I think the number two positive for me overall would be just Jose Berríos returning to his inning-munching ways. Over 101 innings pitched so far, top 15 across baseball. And you know, it's not like he couldn't stay on the bump last year at all, mm-hmm. but he went through a lot. And it was a very inconsistent year. He had some brutal outings. He wasn't the guy that they invested big-time money and big-time term to. But Jose Berríos just bouncing back as way better than a fourth starter, and that's what he entered the season as, a fourth starter, graduating into easy three. Really, he's been the number two for this team mm-hmm. overall and being the guy that you kind of paid for. I mean, it's not like he's competing for the Cy Young, but he's doing exactly what you want out of that investment, which is just take the ball, pitch a lot, give your team a chance to win pretty much every time out there. His bounce back, and maybe it's because I'm not all that bullish on this season, but maybe I'm looking towards the next season after that. Jose Berríos turning this around, very, very important to make sure that this isn't the sort of investment that absolutely crushes a iteration of this team. The Bo Bichette, Vladdy era. If Jose Berríos is just a bumpkin, can't do it anymore, what that would have meant for this season and beyond would have been pretty catastrophic. So Berríos bouncing back, my number two positive.
A pretty good 1-2 punch. Gausman and Berríos.
There you go.
And Chris Bassitt, who's on the mound today, has been a positive story. How about Kikuchi becoming good?
Yeah.
Good.
Is that your second?
No.
I was going to love,
but I'm just giving some praise. Like,
I was
going to
love Berríos and Kikuchi together, but I was like, might run out of
I can put him in there. How big of a stretch is it to say, on the cusp, Hyunjin Ryu is...
That's your second positive?
I'm just kind of playing it off to see how you'd react. Here's a positive. The Blue Jays fan base is consuming Looney Dogs at an alarming rate.
Go with Ryu, please.
At an alarming rate.
Go with Ryu.
I'm actually almost concerned by our consumption numbers, but somebody out there was inspired by yours truly, and a community formed, and the amount of Looney Dogs being consumed is astronomical. So that's a positive this season, and I look forward to seeing those numbers rise.
That's a pat on the back for you.
How about the additions this offseason? Kevin Kiermaier, Brandon Belt, Chris Bassitt, Swanson. He had just had like the best month of MLB players.
Does he look
Shohei.
Like a number three hitter?
No, he doesn't. They need a number. They need a better hitter than him. But he had one of the best months in the MLB last month. Eliminate Shohei. Eric Swanson.
Okay. You're just taking all of them. You got to decide.
Better than expected.
What's your next?
Hey, great text in, though. I want to read this one because Rick in Niagara. He says, Blue Jays vibe check. Remember when we were scared seeing Trevor Richards and now he's Mr. Reliable? Positive.
That's a positive. I got T-Rich on the board.
Kevin, go ahead.
I'm. Can I have Kevin Kiermaier or did you take everybody?
You can have Kevin Kiermaier.
Okay, I need Steve Fellen to find out if he's actually the best number nine hitter in baseball, but I think there's a good possibility that he is.
I don't know one other number nine hitter that even resonates in my brain.
Well,
no one
resonates like Kevin Kiermaier, but he's third among Blue Jays, position players, rather, in WAR. And just anecdotally, the team is so much better when he's in the lineup. Does it not seem that way? Like, he's had a couple injury things.
Well, I was going to say.
Been out recently, and it's just like, you're missing something if you don't have Kevin Kiermaier patrolling center field. He has come in and given you value on the dollar. Mm-hmm. He has come in and being an elite nine hitter, at least in the context of what he provides to you. And he was in the conversation for the All-Star game. Didn't get there, but he was in the conversation for it. I think Kevin Kiermaier has been an immense positive. I only wish they got 2 years out of it.
I would say that he was certainly one of mine. I know I listed off a few. The biggest knock about having Kevin Kiermaier join this team was injury concerns. And last year he played 63 games. He's already played more than that so far this season. Knock on wood, because he's got a little bit of bumps and bruises at this point. But mm-hmm. that has already been an impressive addition. Defensively, he's everything and more than he was advertised, right? And the fans like him a lot.
The fans
do like
him.
Jamie Campbell.
And deservedly so. And Ailish Forfar. Yeah. And Justin Cuthbert.
And Tiff in the text line always brings up
Tiff
Kevin
Kiermaier.
Yeah,
too.
So whatever.
He's a fan favorite.
That's a positive.
He's a fan favorite before he got here or before he did much.
And he
lived up to it.
And that's important.
There's a reason to get excited.
You can't let people down, Kevin Kiermaier, and he wouldn't do that to us.
He hasn't done it.
I love that we got some texts in at 590-590 because we are positive people.
Do the Blue Jays have snot?
No.
No? Kiermaier's got a little snot. It might be too pretty to have snot.
No, you know what? They don't have snot. They lose games on little dumb mental mistakes. They don't have grit.
The Argos have grit.
They can't close. That's right. They can't close out. Get a little grit. And you know who needs grit? John Schneider. Mm. He's got to do the tough thing and call one person out ever in his life.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
Greg in Toronto says Jays are just a cleanup hitter away. Big ask, but it's around the corner of the trade deadline.
Ask. The Red Sox have snot against the Blue Jays.
Yeah, that's 100%. A team that digs. They got grit.
I feel like they're lacking snot otherwise, but against the Blue Jays, it's snot.
Ugh. Boston. Okay, Blue Jays are back in action tonight. They got a day off yesterday, so they better bring it. Chicago White Sox, 8 p.m. That time zone just messes up your night, eh? Sportsnet, Sportsnet Now, Sportsnet 590 Fan, streaming on sportsnet.ca/590 and the Sportsnet app. Anywhere you can get it, you will get it. It's Chris Bassett on the mound. Looking forward to seeing that. We'll tee that up later. We got Blake on at 7:30 and we'll do some little wake and rake props for that. Let's take a break because we want to do our 4th of July athlete barbecue party draft.
Another draft. I'm back to back with the drafts.
You know what? I was at the draft last week and all I want to do is draft. And want to hear my name called to walk down the stairs with my family
there. I don't blame you.
Okay, that's next in the A-list.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Now, it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Okay, happy 4th of July. The Americans know how to BBQ. They know how to party it up. Everything's bigger and bolder and brasher down south.
Yeah.
So we are going to draft 5 American-born athletes that we would want at our barbecue if we were having one today.
And we'd have to show out because, as you mentioned,
they don't do
bigger and brasher. You can't mess around if you're going to have Americans at your party.
You would need smokers,
a lot of meat.
That's what I meant.
A
meat smoker,
yeah.
Which I actually had some this weekend. Pulled pork and a meat smoker was, oh my God, amazing. And also somebody did mac and cheese in there, and it was just hit. We'll get into that another day. Very good. Lots of beers, fireworks.
Mm-hmm. I hate fireworks.
Yeah, because dogs don't like them.
Okay, you lead off.
Rob Gronkowski.
Ooh, didn't think about Gronk.
Are you kidding me? He is like the epitome of a barbecue guest that's American.
That's it?
Well,
that's the explanation.
What else do you want me to say?
Okay.
It's Gronk.
First overall pick is Gronk.
He's going to absolutely bring it, and he'll be hilarious to hang out with, and I'm sure there would be stories that I would hear that I would love, and he would never take his foot off the gas pedal.
I'm going to go in that vein, but a little bit more of a veteran guy.
Okay.
John Daly.
That was my second pick.
I need John Daly, and I'm glad I switched it up there because he was going to be my second pick as well. I'm going John Daly because I need stories. Mm-hmm. I need someone who's going to be setting a bit of a pace with the beers. I need someone who can be a bit of, not the mascot, but someone that's being gravitated towards. Need that person who's at the center of it. John Daly's that guy.
I should have taken him first, but I thought, no way you'd think of him.
Yeah, if you started with Daly Gronk, what do you mean no way I would think?
Okay, Phil Kessel.
All right.
Phil the Thrill, he brings a little bit more of a chill vibe to him, but mm-hmm. he knows how to get into
get
one.
Get everyone laughing.
He get everyone laughing, and I have lots of questions for Phil. So I'd like Phil Kessel at my barbecue.
Okay, I'm going to go with my tight end. I'm going to go with Travis Kelce.
Kate, if I showed you my list, this is literally every other person I have written down.
I'm having to switch it up because I was going to go with people that were more specific to me, but I'm getting a feeling that you might have went that route, so I'm getting those people out of the way. Travis Kelce, he's a fun guy. Let's be honest. He's going to be the one guy who puts himself out there. There's something about tight ends, I guess. I think that's important
fun.
To have a tight end. We both have a tight end there. But yeah, Travis Kelce's fun. Everyone wants to talk to Travis Kelce. He's probably going to like bring fun people too, which I think is a good thing. Travis Kelce's.
You're not allowed to have more guests. It's five, capped at five. No guests.
Okay, well.
It's a private party.
You know, if the party spills elsewhere, maybe he'll be able to connect that up.
Matthew Tkachuk.
Okay.
Yes. He get to the buses. You know, he's a fun guy. He's gonna bring it, and okay, he comes from a lineage of family that would bring it. So I think that's important.
He comes from a lineage of family that can bring it. Okay, that's fair. I'm gonna go a little less.
Yeah, this is getting off the rails, kind of.
Yeah, it's. I want to like reel it back in a little bit, but not to the extent where it's gonna get
perfect.
Boring.
Next, pick.
I'm going Trevor Zegras. I'm going Trevor Zegras because he's gonna be one of those guys. He's your buddy who can't stand still.
He's
like, hey, let's do this. Let's play this game. I think he'll bring a little bit of that where it's just like, hey, let's do more than just slug beers here. Trevor Zegras is going to bring some sort of fun kid-like nature to it to make sure that we're not just, you know, we're not going down the degenerate hole too much. We're having some fun. We're playing some games. We're doing some other things.
The most important pick that I will make is Charles Davis.
Mm.
Yes!
I should have.
I need Charles Davis there.
Have.
A little bit of a parental figure, but a kind, sweet soul. You know, he'd work on the barbecue. He'd be a good dad, but also I would want to sit with him and chat and just, I want to hear from Charles.
What's your team? Charles Davis.
Charles, Gronk.
That works.
Phil Kessel and Tkachuk.
Okay, yeah.
My team is electric.
They'll all get along. That's
Charles
fine.
Davis is coming to my party and he has no choice.
Okay, you're not going to like this one.
Oh, no.
I'm going Jay Cutler. Jay
That's
Cutler.
So
have you ever watched Very Cavallari?
No.
Do you know who Kristen Cavallari
yeah,
is?
Yeah, I know who she is.
I've been told, and this is true, I was told to watch it because Jay Cutler is me. Jay Cutler and I would get each other, I think. He's got the same sense of humor.
Interesting. So he has no humor.
Maybe it's just a little different. It's a different humor, Ailish. A different humor. I need someone who's a little bit more understated, who I might go to when things are getting a little bit out of control. Someone who gets me. And I think he would get me as well. Jay Cutler is on my team.
Okay, I have to do it because it's a special day, Joey Chestnut. Because I want to give him a shot at redemption.
Are you kidding me?
I want to give him a shot at redemption.
You're bringing the guy who's like guaranteed to mess up the bathroom. Smell
no.
A little.
It doesn't have to be a hot dog eating competition. But maybe
the amount of food you got to bring to your own party to keep him satisfied.
I'm giving him a shot at redemption for our small meet and greet.
He also let you down.
So I give people an opportunity to prove who they really are. And so he's getting a second shot in today's.
That was your fifth pick?
It's all about Joey Chestnut. So I'll invite him to my party.
Okay. That's fine.
I had a second. Well, we didn't have a celebrity guest, too.
Okay. Let me make my fifth.
Okay.
Okay. So I got John Daly, a little wild. Travis Kelce, a little wild. Zegras, fun guy. Cutler, a little understated. I'm going another wild card. Give me Ryan Lochte. I want someone who might, like, I have to worry about them getting home. Ryan Lochte.
Oh, God, Justin. This is the weirdest thing I've ever heard from
What's
you.
What's wrong with Ryan Lochte?
He's
a wild card.
Didn't he have some issues?
Yeah, and I want to, it's that type of party where I want to be a little concerned about the
You want to worry about people the entire barbecue.
I want to be concerned about the whereabouts of my guests as they leave my house.
Okay.
Ryan Lochte because he's a maniac.
Okay, then my extra pick is Charles Barkley. And I should have taken him over Joey Chestnut, but I got peer pressured by myself. I want to set up golf games. I want to see Charles Barkley do a little gambling. I want to hear about his famous rich friends. And he will bring just a level of boisterousness that this party needs.
Okay, so like that's an athlete. Can I choose anyone?
Yeah, whatever. We can pick like a singer.
No, I don't have anyone. Like, you confused me.
That's
like,
fine. That was my guess.
Bryce Harper was going to be my
next. That's a good one. Then Bryce Harper. There you go.
Bryce Harper. Maybe a little like, maybe the patriotism would be off the charts. It feels like a little bit.
You know, he'd show up in like a an American Speedo for sure.
But I feel like you might need that.
And those cool goggle things.
And he'd be down for whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so
Bryce Harper would be my last one.
Let's go through our team. Gronk, Kessel, Matthew Tkachuk, Charles Davis, absolute the best pick of the day. Joey Chestnut and Charles Barkley.
And I've got John Daly, Travis Kelce, Trevor Zegras, Jay Cutler,
so weird.
Ryan Lochte, and Bryce Harper.
You have some of the strangest names.
Characters, man.
So do I. Anyway, whose barbecue would you rather go to? 590, 590. I'm taking all the listeners, American or not, you can come to my party.
You just said no guess.
Well, I changed my mind. Okay, Luke, we didn't do our Immaculate Grid today. We'll find a time for it because I looked at it today and there's Leafs on it, so we're good. We'll find a spot. Luke Fox joins us after the break. I saw him in Nashville. He could come to my barbecue. Luke Fox can hang. He is born for Nashville, this guy. He's just posted up at the bar. He's got one arm and he's just jamming. He loves music. It's Luke Jukebox.
Yeah.
Luke Fox. And he loves the music. And I think we got a lot closer in the last week. Let's see if he...
See if he
feels
remembers.
The same, I hope. Luke Fox next.